Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable. It is time for our weekly Bible study right here on our website. Let's talk about Jesus. That's the name of our Bible study, and that is the attitude with which I come to share the Word of God with you. Let's talk about Jesus today. I used to sing, and don't get worried. Don't turn your radio down or off. I'm not about to sing, but I used to sing before I preach many times a song that is the epitome of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and how important it is for everyone upon this planet to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is a need to hear and to give heed to the gospel. God wants to save you today. If you're not a Christian, make no mistake about it. God wants to seal you with the Holy Spirit, and God wants to keep you safe from the wrath to come. So the song I used to sing many times before preaching was, "It's Jesus that they need. It's Jesus that they need. It's Jesus that they need." Because I could feel that cry of the heart for something that will give us hope, that will give us peace, that will give us purpose, that will give us a future to look to beyond the grave and beyond this old fallen world. Hallelujah. It's Jesus that they need. It was Jesus that I needed when I came to know Him as my Lord and my Savior. It's Jesus that you need today if you don't know Him. And it's Jesus that you need a deep devotion to if you are a Christian today. If you're going to be kept safe in this time of the falling away, in this perilous time, in this time of great deception, we need to deepen our devotion. I'm going to say that again. In this day of great deception, the end times marked by deception, we need a deep devotion to Jesus that nothing can shake today. That's why the title of our message today has to do with the Lord's Supper. It has to do with Holy Communion or the Eucharist. It is called, I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. We're going to talk about deepening our devotion, and one of the places, one of the times when we need to rethink that and think deeply about it is when we take Holy Communion. Jesus said to do it as often as we do it in remembrance of Him. We do it the first Sunday, not saying that is a template for everyone. Some people do it on Easter, Christmas, other times. Some people do it more frequently. We do it on the first Sunday because we believe this challenge to deepen our devotion, this time to be thankful and stimulate gratitude once again is important, and we need to do it frequently. And I'm not setting a template. I'm just saying our congregation has always looked forward to the communion service, and we're coming up on a first Sunday here, and we're going to have a great communion service as our first love is rekindled if it needs rekindling, and our gratitude is rekindled if we need to rekindle our gratitude for our salvation, and in particular our Savior, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, today. So if you have your Bible, open it up on the subject, amen, a pledge of allegiance to the Lamb. 1 Corinthians 10, 16 and 17 says, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread." That's why we can have fellowship here today without denominational structure forbidding us to enter into fellowship together. Now, there are people and false religions that we cannot fellowship. There is false doctrine that we cannot espouse. But true believers, true Christians, born again, born from above, have every right and responsibility to come together and worship God as one. So I pray today, regardless of your background, if you're a true Christian today, that we can fellowship around the Word of God, and especially around our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ today. I like one translation. It says, "Is not the cup of thanksgiving, for which we give thanks, a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf." Now, when we're talking about participation in the blood, participation in the body, we're not talking about the symbols of the blood and body, the bread and the little bit of grape juice. We're not talking about that somehow being transformed into the very blood and the very body, spiritually or otherwise. But we are told this. Jesus said that you have to drink of His blood and eat of His body. This is spiritual communion, spiritually partaking of all that He is and all that He's done for us at the cross. Amen. In order to have a relationship with Him, we must eat His body and drink His blood. That's figurative. I want you to understand, this is not some kind of holy cannibalism. This is spiritual communion with Christ. Amen. And this is an opportunity in holy communion with Christ to deepen our allegiance to Him. Allegiance, literally in the dictionary, means devotion or loyalty to a person, a group, or a cause. Well, this is not a group, and this is part of a cause, but more importantly and more specifically, this is a person that we are to have allegiance to. I love the song, and the lady in our church used to sing it. I was always moved by the words, "I pledge allegiance to the Lamb." It is actually the title of this teaching, about Holy Communion and about spiritual communion with Jesus Christ. Let me read some of the lyrics to this song. "I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength, with all I am. I will seek to honor His commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. I've heard how Christians long ago were brought before a tyrant's throne, and they were told that He would spare their lives if they would renounce the name of Christ. But one by one they chose to die. The Son of God they would not deny. Like a great angelic choir sings, I can almost hear their voices ring. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. With all my strength, with all I am, I will seek to honor His commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb." Now the years have come and the years have gone, but the cause of Jesus still goes on. And now our time has come to count the cost, to reject this world, to embrace the cross. And one by one, let us live our lives for the One who died to give us life. Till the trumpet sounds on the final day, let us proudly stand and boldly say, "I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. With all my strength and with all I am, I will seek to honor His commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb." This is a challenge today, like we're challenged at the Lord's table, to be strengthened in our allegiance to Jesus Christ. We can't be His disciple if we are not strengthened in our allegiance to Him. Because the first prerequisite for following Christ is denying ourselves. That requires a deep devotion, not just mere emotion, not just a tear that may come to our eye when the cross is presented and focused upon and Jesus on it is preached. Dear friend of mine, this requires a response to the cross from our heart. It requires a deep devotion, a pledge, therefore, of allegiance to the Lamb. Let me give you the background to Holy Communion in this scripture here. The Christians in Corinth were members of families and were citizens of the community. Perhaps only one or two members of a family may be Christian. There are people living in those situations right now where there is a Christian in the home and there is a or other non-Christians in the home. The other members of the family still worshiped a pagan god. Now, maybe the non-Christian isn't bowing to some idol or calling out the name of some ancient false god. But certainly, when we embrace the worldview and the world system, we are worshiping the god of this world. Whether we acknowledge it, whether we know it or not, that is the absolute truth. The members of the family who worshiped the pagan god would get together to share a sacred meal in honor of their god. Some of these meals would be very celebratory and would involve the whole extended family coming together to do it. The Christians wanted to know if they could participate in these celebrations, since they no longer believed that the god was real. Could they just go ahead and participate in that? Sometimes these celebrations were more than just family gatherings. Sometimes they involved the entire community participating in a large festival involving maybe even a whole week of activities. It was considered patriotic to worship the god who was the patron saint of the community. The Christians in Corinth wanted to know. It was a question they asked. Could they participate? Because they didn't believe in this god. They knew this god was false. Could they just go ahead and, you know, party hardy with the rest of these worshipers without worshiping? That's a question we need to really face today, isn't it? We are commanded to in the New Testament, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. For what fellowship hath light with darkness and Christ with Belial? Literally, Christ with the devil. Be not unequally yoked together. Listen carefully to Paul's answer to them. Paul's answer was no, by the way. If you haven't figured it out yet, no, no way, no way. The Christians could not eat a meal in honor of a pagan god, even if they understood that the god was not a real god. Paul said that the worship of the pagan gods was the worship of demons. Now, that's pretty clear. That's plain stuff. I'm going to give you a very short scripture, but listen to this. Paul said the worship of the pagan gods was the worship of demons, and Christians should not be involved in the worship of demons. Duh. Does that make... Listen. Christians need to get a hold of the fact that we are in a culture that is bowing to Satan himself. And it's coming forth now. If you're a borderline Christian, you're on the fence and you're trying to blend with the world and you know, somehow identify with Jesus. Look what the world is becoming. Satan is not only tolerated, he is celebrated in the world that we are living. He's celebrated in the music and in the musicians, many performers. He's celebrated, and he's actually being celebrated right now in political movements and social reform movements, to where the devil is being exalted and Christ is being marginalized. 1 Corinthians 10:21 and 22 is Paul's answer. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Remember, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. It's reiterating this very scripture. You cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers at the Lord's table and the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord? This is New Testament, almost sounds like Old Testament, doesn't it? Idols and demons and provoking the Lord to jealousy. Does God get upset about this? Do we serve a God who allows for this? Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? I like one paraphrase. It says, you can't have it both ways. Dining with the master on one day and with the demons on the other. Oh, friend of mine, the issue here, today as it was then, is allegiance. Jesus had said that a person is not able to worship both mammon and God. He observed that the person who tried to do so would find that he could not serve two masters. He would end up loving the one and hating the other, or he would devote himself to the one and despise the other. A person, and a Christian person in particular, is not able to serve two masters. Matthew 6:24 is where he said that. Let me make a statement to you today. Behind every false god, behind every idol, behind every seductive pull of the world system is a demonic influence. Idols are not just stone relics that have no relevance to the spirit world. When someone worships an idol, there is a demon that will impersonate that idol. There will be an actual religious experience, if you want to call it false religion, yes, but a spiritual experience can occur, and spiritual problems can certainly begin to occur. They tell us to stay away from Ouija boards and the occult and witchcraft. Let me tell you something today. When we begin to move into idolatry, we're not, I don't hear a lot of sermons on idolatry today because that's supposed to be so very pagan and so antithesis to Christianity that no one would even think of bowing to an idol of stone who first bows to the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend of mine, the Bible said covetousness itself can become idolatry. Idolatry is anything and anyone in a person's life that takes precedence and competes for the focus and the love and the allegiance that we should have to Jesus Christ. Behind, I want to say it again, behind every false god, behind every idol, behind every seductive pull of the world system is a demon influence in it. Christians must make a clean break with the world system if we're going to follow Jesus Christ. Because an idol can be anything. Again, that competes with our devotion to God. It can be an inordinate love for sports. I love sports. I love the Super Bowl. I'm not going to cancel Sunday night. I used to tape it. Amen. And try to get home before I hear who won it so I can watch and see who won it and have that tension. It can be a career. It can be our family. It can be hunting. It can be fishing. It can be gardening. All of these seemingly innocent things, if we become so obsessed with them that it competes with our devotion to God. It can be an inordinate love of our own self. It can be anything in our life that competes with our devotion to God. That's why I'm challenging you today, and I'm being challenged today, to pledge my allegiance to the Lamb so that nothing in my life and no one in my life can become more important in my life, can have more of my time, my energy, and my focus than the Lord Jesus Christ and the work that He's called us to do. We desperately need to be strengthened in our allegiance to the Lord. Can God get an amen out there? A comedian performing before a live audience declared, "Christians are so poor." And the audience replied, "How poor are they?" And the comic replied, "They're so poor they only have one God." Hallelujah. Friend of mine, that may bring a smile to people's faces, but this is a very serious issue. Let me proclaim today, that's what makes us so very rich. The great truth is that there is one God. Jehovah, our God, our Heavenly Father, and one mediator between God and man, the Scriptures teach. And that mediator is that man, Jesus Christ. One faith, one Lord, one baptism, one Spirit, by which we are baptized into one body, and that's the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our participation in the Lord's Supper is our way of affirming our total allegiance to Jesus Christ as our Lord and our God, our Sovereign and our Savior. At the Lord's table, we declare that Jesus, our Savior, the second person of the Godhead, God in flesh, bore our sins as a sacrificed lamb, our substitute, who took our punishment. We remember and we pledge our allegiance to the Lamb, for He is worthy. At the Lord's table, we strengthen our allegiance and we strengthen our worship. The Apostle Paul is not saying that the Christian is drinking the blood and eating the actual, factual body, literal body that's been somehow transformed. No. I want to stress the word, not. The bread remains bread. The juice remains juice. The worshiper is not taking into his or her body the mystical presence of Christ. Worship simply means that Christ is present with us. He is with us every time we gather in His name, isn't He? When two or more gather in My name, there am I in the midst of them. Worship means that we go beyond the physical acts of eating and drinking and do it unto the Lord. It is purpose-driven. It is intentional. The worship eats and drinks, but does so to the Lord. And it's just these little tokens. It's not a feast. It is not a picnic. It is a holy representation of Christ, body broken, blood poured out, so that we could be forgiven and we could be saved. The intent is to acknowledge Jesus and to honor Him in the eating and the drinking. It is an act of deep worship. And it should bring deep devotion to the Lord. Worship is a derivative of worship. Jesus Christ is worthy of our worship. I'd like an amen in this audience. Jesus Christ is worthy of our worship today. Look at Revelation chapter 5. It said, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book," verse 9, Revelation 5, 9 through 13. "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people and nation, and made us unto God kings and priests, and we shall reign upon the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, oh, we're not done, comma, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessed, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." Dear friend, today all of this lavish praise is poured upon Christ because He gave His body, shed His blood for our salvation. It is poured upon the Father, God the Father, because He gave His Son to be offered up for us. Jesus gave His all to redeem us. He is worthy of all our praise and our deepest worship and our deepest devotion. Not just praise we give, oh, but praise we live. Not just worship we give, but the way we live our life. We live worship. We live praise when we demonstrate a changed life and changed values, when we walk in the newness of life, a life that is marked by the change that comes when we are truly saved, truly thankful, and truly devoted to Jesus Christ. Oh, friend of mine, I'm so glad today that Jesus reminds us through Holy Communion. The Holy Spirit comes and reminds us through Holy Communion. God the Father is present, reminding us in Holy Communion of the cost of our salvation. It doesn't cost us anything, but it cost Him everything. Friend of mine, when we see in any Christian a real passion for prayer, when we see a genuine compassion for others, when we see a real hunger for God's Word, and when we see a sweet spirit, a forgiving spirit that is developing, when we see true worshipers gathering to praise the Lord with hearts filled with gratitude, when we see sincere repentance and authentic Christian living, don't worry about those folks. They're just going through the change. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. When we come to the Lord's table, we are strengthened in our fellowship, in our intimacy with God, in our love for one another. Amen. We're literally entering into a spiritual fellowship with Jesus and with the Father and with the Holy Spirit and our fellowship with one another, because we've all been made to drink of that same spiritual cup. Before COVID, maybe we shouldn't have, but we did sometimes, particularly in smaller gatherings. There, one cup was passed around and everyone sipped from the same cup. And today, I think that is way more representative than sitting in our individual. I'm not advocating we go back to that. But I'm saying we should visualize that when we all wait for one another and we all are said, you may drink the cup. When we drink it together, we need to see ourselves interlocked, integrated with one another as one body. Not just Christians who are isolated from one another, insulated from one another, but integrated with one another. Praise God that we might be of one mind and one accord concerning the gospel, concerning the Word of God, concerning our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, today. Amen. This cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread, one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Today, dear Christian friend, today, regardless of who you are, where you are, what culture you're from, if you are a born-again Christian, regardless of what denominational affiliation you may have, I want you to know this is not an organization we're part of. It's not even a denomination we're part of. We're part of an organism. We have been baptized by the Holy Spirit into the spiritual body of Jesus Christ. And we have become bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. That is why we should pledge our allegiance to the Lamb and bow to no other. In Jesus' name today. They've taken, and I suppose they've taken the Pledge of Allegiance out of schools to the flag, because people are burning the flag and spitting on the flag. There's no allegiance to the nation that has kept us safe, brought us such blessing with the blood of so many who have shed that blood for our freedom. But we certainly as Christians should pledge allegiance to the Lamb. that has brought us freedom, bought us freedom through His shed blood at the cross. There should be a deepening of our devotion. I've seen emotion. I've seen tears come to people's eyes, but they would walk out of the service. They may even kneel at the altar, but they would walk out of the service and go back unto the same old sins, go back to the same old bar on the weekend, go back to the same old habits, hold the same old unforgiveness and bitterness in the heart, live the same old loose life with no moral compass, and yet be moved by the preaching of the cross, moved by the fact that Jesus died there, emotionally moved by it, but not devotionally committed to follow Him. The challenge today is, if you've been moved by the cross and moved by His sacrifice, it's time to pledge your allegiance to the Lamb. Is He worthy? Is He worthy? Is He worth it, in other words? Is He worth your commitment today? If you haven't committed your life to Him as a Christian today, that you might deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Him, this is the day. This is the time. This is the time of the falling away. The only people who will not be swept away with the tide and the flow away from God today are those who pledge allegiance to the Lamb. I want to pledge allegiance with all I am today. How about you? How about you? Jesus is coming soon, and He's coming for a church that has an allegiance to Him. He's coming for a bride who is ready to go out to meet Him when the midnight cry comes. Hallelujah. Behold, He comes. Behold, come out. Go, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet Him. Are you ready for the coming of the Lord? Are you ready to receive the challenge to stay close to Him so He can keep you safe? Safe from the wrath to come. You don't want to miss the catching away. You don't want to miss the secret coming, not the second coming at the end of the tribulation, but the secret coming for His bride, for His saints, for Christians who have not compromised their faith, Christians who have not went back like Lot's wife. Oh, dear friend of mine, we are made partakers, as we've been reading, spiritually partakers of Christ, if we keep the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Now the scripture says, for they that endure to the end shall be saved. Let's deepen our devotion. Let's make a real commitment. Pledge our allegiance to the Lamb today. If you're not a Christian today, your allegiance is to yourself, to your sin, to the world system, and to all the things that it offers you. But you're without God in the world. And you can see the systems that we have leaned on, depended on, put our faith in, put our trust in, shaking, failing. We see the end time signs that Jesus talked about, distress of nations with perplexity, with puzzlement. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to fix it because they are without God and without hope. Come to Christ today. Repent of your sin. Receive Jesus as your Savior so that God can save you, seal you, and keep you safe from the wrath to come. In Jesus' name,